from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortat. Today, I have a very special episode for you. I actually managed to wrangle some semi-famous people who are going to talk about a really interesting movie project that I think that people who listen to the site should support. I've been checking out one of their videos, which is actually on the site. It's for a movie, an upcoming movie that they're making called Jesus, Don't Let Me Die Before I've Had Sex. And the title alone was enough to kind of get me interested. So today I have both the filmmaker and the producer for this movie. The producer, first of all, is called Brittany Machado, which is apparently Portuguese. She's a sociologist from the University of Chicago. And I also have Matt Barber, who's the filmmaker, the director of it. He's had some experience working as an editor and directed one episode of Chuck, and apparently he was somehow involved in the OC. I'm going to be blaming him for how terrible that show is. Thanks for joining me, guys. Now, the movie itself, if no one's heard of it, you guys are starting a Kickstarter account trying to get people interested in a movie that is apparently, I guess, a look at, is it specifically evangelical Christianity and the sexual mores of that culture, or is there more to it? Could you explain a little bit about the movie itself?
Yeah. I mean, it really is a story that examines the sexual teachings, how they're taught, and but more specifically, looking at the stories of the people on the ground, so to speak. It comes out of my experience. I grew up in the church. I grew up in evangelical, and I had a certain expectation of what I thought sex was going to be like. By waiting and saving myself, so to speak. And then on my wedding night. After I woke up the next morning, I realized I don't feel like a man. It's like
nothing's changed.
Well, and that's the crazy thing is if you're thinking about it now, I'm like, there's no way. Of course, there's no way you're going to change from just an experience. But my 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old, self expected that. And I woke up the next morning, I'm like, I feel like the same person. What's going on here? So that's what started the sort of the questioning, a number of years ago.
But there's obviously a line between just sort of like a personal, introspection of I don't feel any different from my sexual experience. You mentioned in one of your articles on the site that I guess talking to other people kind of made you feel a little bit less isolated. And in a sense, I guess it kind of gave you this interpretation that maybe there's a lot that wasn't being said. Why did you choose specifically that format? Like, why do you think that a documentary, for instance, does a good job of being able to convey those things? Like, what is so unique about it? Well, like, why did you decide on that as a specific project?
I think it's a multi-layered sort of answer, but I think the simplest thing I can say is that hearing from actual people telling actual stories is a powerful thing. If I made a fiction piece about this, it's easy to write it off and going, oh, that's just his one interpretation. But when you start to gather the voices and people start to hear like, oh, this is what's really going on, you have certain people, politicians, pastors, sitting up there saying, this is what we're saying sex should be like, and this is how you should do it. And then on the ground, everyone else is either, they're experiencing something different or doing something different. We want to hear those stories, we will be listening to, those pastors and preachers and politicians, those who will actually, speak to us. But we want to hear how it's being, actually practiced or not practiced on the ground.
Right. So the first thing is, most of the people that are interviewed, do they fall into a specific faith? Like, are they mostly evangelicals or do they kind of range?
They're mostly be self-identifying evangelicals. And the maxim, write what you know or film what you know. It's like, I grew up in the evangelical church, so I understand that culture. I'm an insider in that way. We've had some people say like, well, it'd be great to know what they think in Europe, in China. I'm like, that's fantastic, but that's a freaking huge project, and I just want to sort of start here. Maybe part two.
Well, Brittany, how did you get involved as a producer? I mean, like I said before, you have a degree in sociology. Where do you come in?
Well,
to this
I wrote my master's work on evangelicals and sexuality, and so it was all about identity formation and cultural tools and how you take evangelical cultural norms and quote unquote secular norms, and then how do you create an identity in that? Because you don't live in a bubble. I mean, as much as some people like to pretend they live, in a small world that's protected or something, you really don't. And ultimately, you've got a lot of different voices coming at you. So how do you create a coherent identity out of all of that? So it's basically what I wrote about, and it was interesting. I did qualitative interviews with people, and surprise, surprise, even if you've had all these taboos put on you about what you can and can't talk about, if you sit down with someone that you trust, you talk about a lot. And what I started to hear was sort of the same story over and over again, is that I was told a lot. It didn't really seem to make much sense. And then once it stopped making sense and I couldn't ask questions anymore, there was just a lot of silence. And so how do I then become an adult, and how do I maintain a status of virginity and all of these social implications of what it means to be a virgin in the U.S. these days, and then still have a faith and ascribe to, the God that I care about and love and the community that I care about and love. So you take all these dissonances, you put them together, and it creates a pretty interesting story. So that's what I wrote about. And then just a couple people talking one day. I talked with our other co-producer, Chris Pack. He was talking to a friend of mine who knew about the project and said, hey, you need to talk to this woman, Brittany, and she's got an interesting project I think you should read. And he did, and that's the story.
Was there a kind of amalgam between these two projects? Did you guys sit down and say, well, I've done all this research on evangelicals, and meanwhile Matt's like, well, I was an evangelical and I had a lot of questions. So let's bring it all together? Is there some aspect of your education that's coming into this analysis, or is it just raw stories from people?
It starts with the stories, and that's where I had done probably about 6 or 7 interviews, when she came on board. And I am not an expert. I am just a filmmaker. I'm a storyteller, and I got an early copy of her thesis, and I'm reading through it. I'm like, man, this is exactly what I am hearing in all my interviews, and also reflected in my own life. Mm-hmm. And so we met and we sort of swapped stories, and we realized there's a lot of synthesis here. There's a lot of similarities, and so it was kind of like a perfect marriage, to use that, mm-hmm. to keep it within that metaphor, so I am sort of trying to make this all interesting and cinematic and captivating. Uh-huh. But sort of on the back of her research and her more sort of solid academic background.
And I grew up evangelical, so I kind of have that insider-outsider perspective as well. So I can do good research and, come up with these ideas using, good methodologies. And yet I can still say, hey Matt, I hear what you're saying. Like, I totally remember that too,
I find it very strange, in a sense, America is a bit of a microcosm of a strange relationship between religion and sex. Like, if you look at most other first world nations, we don't have the same kind of issues that you have in America. Like, in America, for instance, if I were to take a look at the statistics, in terms of porn downloads, in terms of sexually even deviant behavior, you would find a large section of what we would normally call the moral majority, right? The people who praise themselves on being, much more holier than thou when it comes to sex. But when you actually break it down, it turns out that their behavior is actually a lot more complex. Not just complex, but it turns out that their relationship with it. I mean, I've always been the proponent of if it's forbidden, it's always sweeter, right? And here we have a culture in the United States where I don't even see boobs in movies anymore. The 80s, the glory days of fucking tits in your face is gone, and now really there's 10 times more violence. But if I'm trying to have an honest conversation about sex, it's not going to happen. I feel in a weird way that the resurgence of religion, in a sense, for the hardliners are yanking at this sort of sexuality chain, and they're saying, this is our domain. And how does modern day quote unquote secular America deal with that pushback?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, one thing that is particularly troubling to me is the polarizing of just so much of our politics. You know, I think you mentioned on one of your previous podcasts, like, you know, really where we've become like a two-party system, and there's no middle ground. Like, if you want to vote for like a true moderate, I mean, you know, you vote for a moderate Democrat, you're going to get all the stuff that you don't like with Democrats. If you vote for a moderate Republican, you're also going to get all the stuff that you don't like with the Republican Party. And I think that's also reflected in our morality as well. And what I want, and this is kind of like what we want to spark with this documentary, is sort of, you know, step into that arena. We're not politicians, you know, we're not theologians, we're storytellers. And we want to, you know, reflect what's going on, actually going on in America, what people are really doing and not doing. And then hopefully, you know, build a bridge between, you know, at least be a beginning of a bridge for these two different sides. You know, well, you know, maybe that's an ambitious goal, but that's, you know, that's what we would love to do.
You begin with a place of ambition. Hopefully you end up being somewhere. The only way that I would be, let's say, I don't want to say skeptical because that's the wrong word, but a bit apprehensive of what you're trying to do is when I look at the history of sexuality, and it's particularly sexuality in Christianity, and this is a very important, sort of like amalgam here, because in the U.S., as it compared to most other First Nations, like, I think the United States could actually claim to be a Christian culture, because most of their mores are actually sort of really encompassed in that religious experience. But most of everywhere else on Earth that is a First Nation world has kind of rejected most of those mores. Like, I'll give you a good example. Like, if you look at early Christianity, their obsession with celibacy, virginity, I mean, this is carried on to today. You know, like the really sick version of sex that we have is in large part due to this notion that, you know, celibacy is better. That, sure, sex is one of those compromises. Married couples, yeah, Jesus is coming back any fucking day now, says Paul of Tarsus. Or Tertullian, who's like, it's better to be single. Jesus is going to come back and fucking kill everything. So why should you get involved romantically? And meanwhile, I mean, we're 2012. We have what percentage of the United States that would consider themselves to be religious or very religious? And what are the messages that the Christian church is saying about that? I mean, like, evangelicals are strange because in my view, I mean, you look at the early church, like the Catholic Church, which is what evangelicals apparently rejected, and their view of matrimony and marriage and sex is actually closer to what evangelicals believe now than what the Puritans used to believe in. So my question is, as evangelicals, can you answer me why they went back to sort of like this weird Catholic view of sex?
Well, that's one of the things we're going to be exploring in the film, you know? I mean, we're going to be interviewing, you know, historians and sociologists talking about, I mean, we're trying to identify people right now whose area of study focuses on these different, you know, points in time. I'm flying out to Michigan tomorrow to interview Amy DeRogatis, is that how you pronounce her name? Who's focused on 60s to today, evangelical, you know, and is it the purity movement or just sexuality?
Sexuality and Christian writings on sexuality and the effects of, you know, the sexual revolution, civil rights movement, on evangelicalism.
And then, I mean, then we're going to go back, we're lining up someone who can speak to, like, the puritanical movement, the Victorian era, all the way back to medieval times, you know, back to the anti-Nicene, you know, back, you know, the Paul, like you said, like the Pauline time. So, I mean, we are on a journey ourselves. And I think the best way I can say is, like, I'm still in the process of trying to figure out, you know, how, like, where am I coming from and where am I going? And this movie is part of that journey. And I think that's all great, valid questions. And those are things we definitely want to sort of get into and try to help people, especially, you know, people such as yourself, try to understand, like, what the hell is, you know, what, how did we get here? You know, what was the thinking that led this event, this cultural event, caused the church to react in this way, which, you know, led us here?
And I think, too, something important to remember is that people do things for a reason. Even whether or not we think they make sense, or we think they're crazy or weird, or we think Paul was totally off his rocker or whatever, you know, we do things that make sense to us. And a lot of things that we do help make our psyches feel better, and they give us meaning. And we like, I mean, a lot of people like traditions, and even if they're not explicit traditions, we sort of fall in line with these deep histories. And, you know, you keep a line of history and you can point back to things, but as the cultural forces around you change, you know, you adjust, and sometimes patterns repeat, and, you know, so, but it's all about cultural meaning making. We do things that make sense to us.
I understand that in the documentary, like, you've actually taken special care, and I mean, I will repeat this for the podcast, because everybody who listens to the podcast is on the other side of it. I mean, you guys have said, we're trying to be fair, we're not trying to be judgmental. Because I'm coming from the sides of judgmentalism. Yeah, I look at your side and I'm like, I think I can identify the cause of the problem. It's your bullshit belief system that tries to incorporate things that are totally out of date. Not only totally out of date, but the point of, like, even most Christianity that I find hilarious is that they will admit that they have absolutely no idea how you are supposed to have sex that's church sanctioned. You know, like, I could read the Songs of Solomon, and I could read it in a way that says, in one particular passage, where, I'm not quoting from, like, directly, but he says that the man put, you know, sort of blocked the keyhole, and her bowels quivered. Now, I could interpret that as, I had anal sex with that woman, and that's why her bowels quivered. Or I could just say she was really excited. And I've seen lots of different translations that tries to sort of, like, mellow out the Songs of Solomon. But this is a good example of sort of like, even if sexuality is mentioned and mentioned prominently and even positively in the Bible, no one really has a good idea of how it's supposed to be interpreted in the first place. So how is it, like, how do people try to, like, the priests and pastors and things like that in your faith group, how do they try to proclaim any knowledge of what you're supposed to do when you fuck? Like, how can they claim this knowledge, first of all? Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know if I can speak to, like, why, you know, and how, like, these particular people are doing it. And that is why we're engaging in this story, you know. That's why we want to go and talk to, you know, some, mm-hmm. you know, name your pastor of choice, you know. If you had anyone that you want me to interview.
Joel Osteen. I want you to interview Joel Osteen. Honestly, like,
I would love to interview Joel and say, like, you know, and this is the one thing that I really want to explore, and I'm sort of curious about is how do people wrangle with those questions, and what is it that they tell themselves, you know, to justify those beliefs. So, you know, and like you said, there are things that, you know, you could go to any church and, you know, one person will say one thing, another person will say another thing. And I'm curious about, like, how do you, you know, choose which parts to, like, you know, hold up?
Which parts do you believe and which ones you don't? Like, speaking of which, you mentioned yourself that you actually waited until marriage, right? Before you're still married.
I'm still married, yes.
So you've had a total of one sexual partner, is that correct?
Unless you count myself.
I really don't, no.
That's as much as you're gonna get from me under my sheets.
But I mean, in a sense, like, do you, your feelings personally? Because I'm not asking, like, what you're gonna put in the film. I'm asking you as a person, right? Did you feel cheated from this whole experience of being forced, even if it was passively forced, to wait?
You know, I would say, like, at the time, you know, I of course not, but. But now, you know, yes, I do think about that, you know, and I think part of it is, and this is part of the reason my sort of, you know, to use a pun, sort of my thrust, you know,
nice,
is to really sort of deconstruct that for myself, you know, why is it that, you know, I was so intent on building up this one moment, thinking that I was going to change my life, and then it didn't, and, you know, yes, it was. And I'm sure there's some people going to go, like, oh, this is just your own personal, you know, fucking problem that you're, you know, trying to deal with. But, you know, in a sense, because I've received so many emails and so I've had so many conversations with people where they're saying, yes, we feel exactly the same way. I'm like, what is it that we're teaching ourselves? And why are we expecting something that isn't coming to fruition?
Well, this is why, again, I've always been I've always believed that secretly some evangelicals, I mean, they want to be Catholic. I mean, if they listen to the advice of religious leaders, it sounds to me like the same kind of religious advice that celibate men in dresses would tend to give. Like this whole, you know, where Jesus says in the New Testament that when people sort of get together, there'll be a new flesh and all this exciting thing. I'm sure a celibate priest who's never had sex believes that. and will even sort of like go to any lengths to spread that as being true. And in a weird way, I mean, like, I think that most people who find themselves in your previous faith, you know, they probably end up being entirely confused, being like, why didn't I get changed? Why wasn't that moment really significant for me when you realize, well, it's, I mean, I hate to sound crass, but it's not unlike taking a shit. Like, sure, if it was your first time in 23 years that you took it, you might be a little confused. What was supposed to happen? Why did it hurt when it came out?
And I think that's part of it, too, is there's such an emphasis on the actual act of sex, right? But what we're interested in looking at is what is an overall sexuality? You know, I think that part of where we lose track is when we start to actually look at this one specific moment in time of, you know, an act of sex, whatever that is, or a sexual act, right? But there's a lot more to that process. It's how you think about yourself. It's how you think about your partner or your partners, or how you think about your faith, or how you think about your politics, right? I mean, in the U.S. right now, that's something that's happening, is politics of sexuality. You know, it's so much more than just the actual act of sex. And maybe it's not true for everybody, but, you know, there is, whether you're asexual or heterosexual or homosexual or queer or whatever you are, you have some sort of touchstone with sexuality, not just sex.
Well, I wouldn't say that 100%, because I remember back when I was in the dating scene, there was this one girl that I was pursuing that said explicitly that she never wanted to have sex and that for her, relationships was entirely, like, asexual. But the way I figured it is, like, you know, I'm sure among your group of friends or people you know, there's like one person who's like really fucking horny all the time, and there's this other person who just never seems like they give a shit, right? Like, there's a broad range.
You should talk to Dan Savage. That's who you should talk to about this. You should talk to Dan Savage.
Is that right? Okay, because in my view, like, I obviously understand that there's always going to be, you know, sort of like a range, right? I don't know where I fit within that range. And I think that maybe that's the problem that we have. Like, this is the reason why I don't think that clergy or faith should ever be involved in sexuality, because I don't think that those two things have anything interesting to say apart from, say, their own weird eschatological traditions. I'm talking about Christianity specifically here. But, I mean, there's lots of other weird stuff that's kind of like tries to interject itself in the sex life of other people, like how you were supposed to be as a person is supposed to be determined by how you or who you have sex with, which is strange things, because if we admit that we're like animals, I'm like, is a cheetah defined by who he fucks? Like, I don't think so. He just does it the same way that he breathes.
You should read a book by Kai Erickson, and it's all about the policing of sexual boundaries. And it basically says sex is one of the many ways that we figure out who's a good group member and who's a bad group member. And, you know, you can get sort of reductive with that. But sex is, like you said, there's all these other things interjecting themselves onto a sexuality. And sexuality sort of becomes the embodiment of all those things. And for some people, religion has more of an influence, is a more powerful force than other ones. And then for other people, it's something else entirely, you know. We can trace all sorts of sexual epochs, right?
That's true. I feel like to some degree, though, that, I mean, ultimately the conversations you guys are trying to have, you're just trying to, like, because here's the reason why I wanted to interview guys and try to get people who listen to the show, you know, to contribute. Because, I mean, I'm poor and I'm always trying to fucking hit them up for money. But for once, I'm willing to say, you know, take whatever monies you were going to give me and give it to people who are actually producing something that's real.
I wouldn't say what you're doing is
okay,
real.
Okay, you're right, but it's far more esoteric. You guys have like actual visuals. It looks nice. I mean, I agree with what you're trying to do. Specifically, I mean, I've always felt that it's always impossible to really get people to understand something unless you interject human agents in there. Like, we understand through stories, and I think that, Matt, you would agree with me on this. This is probably why you're a filmmaker, right? We don't really understand things when broken down intellectually. We need to absorb them from individuals that are experiencing those very same things. You know, like, if I can identify with the emotions of someone else, I feel like as though I actually unlock that emotional understanding. So I would say that when I watched the preview for your movie, that's the first feeling I got. I mean, whether or not I agree with the fact that you should remain neutral, you shouldn't. But the point is,
we'll let you spin it for us.
Yeah, I'll spin it nicely. I would say that every single person in your video that has some kind of fucking hang up is it because they're religious, because their religion has told them something completely incompatible with their humanity. You know, have you ever noticed that in religions you're always apologizing for being human? Yeah. I feel like that's kind of like the general feeling of evangelicals is that, oh, are you feeling horny? Are you gay? Something's wrong with you. You need to fix yourself. Jesus can do it magically.
Well, I mean,
I believe in him.
I mean, I think one of the things that we're discovering, you know, in our interviews though, is that, you know, going back to something like a term that we're using is like sexuality is complex. You know, and mm-hmm. We do it all the time in our politics and our religion, like boiling everything down to its simplest form of making it black and white. And I think for some people, the celibate, asexual route, waiting for marriage, whatever, worked really well for whatever reason, like, you know, how they're brought up, or their fragility as a person, or, you know, they're abused or something, and they needed that sort of structure, and it worked for them. And then we interviewed people where it was like, it was disastrous. You know, it was just like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we have a few stories of people who waited until marriage and then got married, you know, and the husband or wife was just a terrible person, and they didn't know that until, and then now they're sort of like, what do? I don't want to, like, you know, offend anyone. I don't want to get a divorce. Now I'm sort of trapped. And then, eventually it spirals down into just them, you know, disintegrating and falling apart. And those are very real stories, and those are two things that we're holding in tension in this, you know, with the stories. Is that for some people it seems like, yeah, it worked really well, and they're genuinely happy, and these other groups is like, no, this did not work. This was a disaster. And I think you're right with the storytelling. It's like, and then this is kind of what we want to do is like, if we sit down in a conversation, you know, we see the humanity in each other. It's like, you know. You know, we need, you know, Christians and atheists need to be not be afraid to sit down and just sort of just talk and say, like, look, I think this is screwed up. I think this is screwed up. You know, it's like, you know, but actually listen, you know, not like mm-hmm. shout at each other, you know?
Well, I tend to do a lot of the shouting myself, although I will tell you that, I mean, most of the times when we do agree to sit down, we do agree that we're humans, we'll find a lot in common. You know, and I think that in a way this is ultimately hope the kind of lesson that we get from your movie, which I'm going to repeat to everyone who listens to this, that they should go on the site, follow the link, and support you guys.
GiveMeSexJesus.com.
GiveMeSexJesus.com. And I'll be putting up a link on the site. There's already a video there, but I'll probably be tweeting it and trying to promote it, because there's about, by the time you guys listen to this, there's 8 days until, you know, sort of the deadline. And I kind of want to keep that clear in people's minds, because I still think that what you guys are doing is really important. Because regardless of how I feel about religion, honestly, those conversations need to be told, because, you know, religious people don't generally talk about sex. Like, I feel like your movie, even if you are religious, it would still kind of appeal to you, because, of course, these are problems that people are actually facing, like real issues.
And I think, and for us, you know, I mean, we want to do this Kickstarter because we want to keep it grassroots. You know, we feel like if we take money from, you know, from an investor, so to speak, then we will have to be beholden to their point. At least we owe them the respect of listening to their point of view and allowing them to influence what we're doing. If we want to be able to keep the control and keep this as an open conversation the way we want to have it, it's really important that we do raise the money grassroots. So, because we really don't. It's like this is a tricky, you know, balance that we're trying to achieve. You know, bringing both conservative and liberal, former Christians and practicing Christians to the table and just telling their stories. And there is a lot of, like, you know, like you said, there is a lot of skepticism, and rightly so. I mean, I mean, we're asking people to tell their most intimate details. You know, and we're trying to handle it with humanity and grace, and say, look, this is we're not gonna make fun of you. We just want you to tell us really what you think.
I bet you've probably found, like, kind of Alfred Kinsey found, that once you put a microphone, you get someone to talk about sex, after about 15 minutes, they're gonna tell you everything like there is to say.
Yeah. It's true. And also, you know, if you don't talk about something a lot and you finally get an opportunity to talk about it with someone who's going to look you in the eye and be like, I see you. You're a human just like me, flesh and blood, you know. And maybe we've had the same experiences and maybe we haven't. But there's a process of discovering together, which is really fantastic because it's impossible when you sit down with someone to not learn about something about yourself. And I think that's really important, is that we are constantly engaging in this process of learning from one another.
Is there anything, like, for instance, because you guys have multiple tiers of donation, is there any particular donation that you would sort of like strongly suggest to people, like where it's like the perfect amalgam of contribution to getting something back for your money? Look, my fans are really pragmatic people. Okay, I cannot fucking stress this enough.
Yeah, you know, we have had a little bit of a, you know, we're trying to figure out what that perfect thing is. And you know, the reality is, and I'm sure if you start a Kickstarter campaign, you're gonna find this, that it costs money to make these incentives. But at the same time, you don't want to just say, hey, we're just gonna give you a keychain for $500. You know, I mean, like, I mean, I think you know, the $50 to $100 level is like kind of our sweet spot. You know, it's like you get a Blu-ray or DVD, you know, and you get a poster designed by a great artist, and we're throwing in some photos, and you know, we're coming up with some, you know, we have a few things in our back pocket for like these last few days that we're gonna roll out. So maybe you guys should hold off for just one or two days, and then we'll release a few more things to make it a little more sweeter.
Well, remember, by the time they hear this, it will be a few days.
So don't hold off.
Okay, so when this so we'll edit that part out and go, like, now is the time we're going to roll out some sweet stuff today.
Exactly, exactly. You always have to think in the future, right? You're talking to future people. This is not live. This is to be edited later, and plus, like, I don't know. Most people take about like 3 or 4 days before they actually download what I have to say. So,
March 14th, we'll just put it this way. March 14th is our last day. So if you like what we're doing and you want – and listen, we want to hear from everyone. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your stories or your like ideas of like, this is what we'd love to hear. Just so we can get a sense of like what it is, like our audience and the people that are investing in us want to hear us talk about and want to hear us address.
Like I said before, I'm going to have a link on the site, even on the podcast. If you go to the lyrics section, there will be a link to their page, to their Kickstarter account. I want you guys to go there, check out what they're doing. Honestly, I mean, I feel like this is the taboo that, regardless of what religious people's opinions are about it, needs to be discussed. Because even as I was just hearing some stories from your preview, I just kept feeling like if we talked about it more, it would be less of an issue. And like, as far as I'm concerned, religion will never have any good advice to give about sex, because either they hate it or they think it's evil, or in certain cases it's kind of like, oh, you can have all the sex you want with the supreme leader. But for the most part, an unhealthy dialogue is usually what there is. And I think that at least in that part, it does feel like people are having their say. And you know, it's not a situation where we're only going to listen to what an atheist says, or we're only going to listen to what a Christian person says. We're only going to listen to what a human being has to say about sex. Is that probably the best way to summarize
it? That's a great way to put it. And you know, when we come back on the show, we're going to talk all about your sex life.
Is that right? Because I think that you're going to be disappointed. I'd be glad to do an interview, but I don't think you can actually use anything that I say. I'm way too fucking controversial.
You can always use what someone says.
I'll hold you to that, and I think that any fan that's going to donate money is going to request that I be on it. So just to keep you guys notified, they can't get enough Jake.
All right, well, we have to meet someplace neutral, like Tennessee.
No, let's not go to Tennessee. I'll probably come to L.A. at some point. I really am overdue for California in general. There's so many of my fans that are there anyways, and I'm kind of curious because, as far as I understand, California is like a weird microcosm of America. It's like the northern part of California is super conservative and the southern part is liberal. I mean, that's America, right?
Yeah, well, no, but it's funny, it is, because really you have like, well, you have like the Central Valley is pretty conservative, the extreme north, and the Orange County is like one of the most conservative areas, like talking about the OC, right? I mean, it really is conservative. But the major population centers are extremely liberal, which is what, you know, where the and that's where the media outlets are, which is why one thinks California is so crazy liberal.
Well, that's actually, like I said before, it's a microcosm of America, because you could go to Texas And in the major urban areas in Texas, it feels pretty liberal. It's just that liberalism is a thing of the cities. Let's just say that. When you're out in the country and you're a liberal, yeah, that's a fucking target on your back. So stick to the cities, Mr. I have like all these fanciful notions of helping my fellow man. Get the fuck out of the rural areas. You're going to get eaten alive.
Well, Jake, before we finish up, do you have any prayer requests?
Prayer requests. Are you guys going to actually pray for me? Are you guys believers? Any of you believers? Like, can I talk you guys out of, like, belief in God, or is that a different conversation?
That's part two.
That's part two? Okay, I'd be glad to sort of, like, include you in that part. If you want to pray to me, I want you to be very specific about your prayer. I want you to pray for your God to actually prove that he exists. So if you could do that, it'd be great.
I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'd like to thank Brittany Machado and Matt Barber for joining me. Again, go to their site. Support what they're doing. Very important. You got 8 days to do it. Don't disappoint me, everybody. All right. Have a good Atheist Day.